You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market. Moan, our first chance to hook up since the Steelers' 24-17 victory in Indianapolis. 24 points, all by the offense. What's going on here? What did you like? What didn't you like?
What I like is a dub, okay? And a dub against a bad team, too, right? A coach that just recently got a head coaching job. Their front office is a mess at times. The quarterback is an older guy that looks like an older guy. And you found a way with a bunch of young guys to get out a dub. That's what I liked in its entirety. That's what I liked, okay, about this game. And there's more to be broken down from that. What I don't like, though, is the way first half and second half hadn't matched up much at all in these wins, in a sense. There has been hardly any continuation of leaving the half good, first half good, and starting the first half hot, too. That's been a issue for me, and I kind of tweeted through the game while it was going on Monday night, like, whoa, let's find ways to not do the Matt Canada thing. Don't be him. Be the other guy that we need in the first half. Find a way to put him in a suitcase and bring him on the field with you. I don't care what the suitcase is. Bring that from the first half and let's complete that, man. And there's a lot to this team. And if we're being real, if you're a realist about what this season is, what this team is, I think there's a few things you can say, and you probably got more to add to it too, DK, is I see a young team when we're used to having so many veterans. And I know most people are going to say, well, you got Cam, you got TJ, you got Minka. Yeah, but they got their own thing going on over there, too, because they're surrounded by a bunch of young guys on the defense or new guys. Larry O, love him, new guy, okay? Devin Bush, still, young guy. Miles Jack, when he's out there, new guy. Still giving Robert Spillane opportunities to start. The secondary moving in and out. Offensively, oldest guy, is correct me if I'm wrong, Chooks?
James Daniels? I mean, Chooks is the most tenured, I think.
Mason Cole.
Yeah. I mean, it's a really young offense.
But in that though, I think we're really what's where I want to leave it within all of that young guy stuff. I think we're really wrong on judging them if we don't say they're still fighting. They hate bad plays. We see them still trying. The effort is there. None of those things had left. And you kind of say, you look at that and the way I, put it in a sense is that's the little bro that eventually is going to grow up. And I hope he's the animal that I need him to be when he grow up. You know what I'm saying?
I do. Moan, I get the sense. Well, let's put it this way. Heading into Philadelphia,
yeah,
right before the bye week and then right after the Buffalo slaughter, what you had was a team that had, and rightly so, yeah, no idea what to expect from the rest of this season. And I feel like that there was some recalibration that happened at the bye week where they were able to say, listen, let's just go play.
Yeah.
And that was something Arthur Millett said to me. He goes, well, there's nothing we can do about the 2-6. There's nothing
what
we can
do. What you gonna do?
There's no hindsight. There's no regrets. Let's just go play. And they went and they beat the Saints. Okay, great. They stayed within reach, you know, of the Bengals.
Yeah, they did.
And then they beat this team that's not very good, although their defense has been good. They haven't given up this many points to hardly anybody.
Right.
Meaning Indianapolis, of course. And then they, you know, they've still got, what is it, six games left?
6 games.
You know?
Yeah.
And they don't seem to be fussing or fretting, is the sense that I get from in there, about, oh, no, what do we do? What do we do?
That. Yeah.
They're just playing football.
To me, it feels like my second year in the league with how this team is kind of growing up. My first year, of course, is a whirlwind. Man, I don't know what I don't know. And it always, you know what I'm saying? And you probably, I don't even know how many conversations we were having then, okay? Yeah.
you weren't nearly important enough.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. But we leave out of that year, and I'm feeling good about being a pro. 16 games, under my belt. And it really honed into me what I was told was, look, if you're going to mess up 100 miles per hour. As long as I'm seeing your effort, I know I got something because I can mold and shape that into something magnificent, okay? And by the end of my career, it turned into something good, right? Would you agree with that?
Yes, because absolutely.
I had to learn, okay, I'm in the league. Woo, we're the 1%. But how do I stay?
How do you stay?
Like that's where this team, and specifically the offense, is at. Like, we just got to go punch somebody. You remember we said that a little bit, though. Like, you just got to go start beating people up.
Exactly. So, on that note, here's where I start getting you going. Watch this, everybody. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah.
So, game's over. Game's been over for about 20, 25 minutes. The locker room's emptying out. And over there against one wall where the offensive linemen sit, and they always sit together because that's how they roll. And Kevin Dotson's sitting there at his stall, and Chukwuma Okorafor sitting right over here. And Dotson, I overhear this. This is before I went over to join them. I hear Dotson going, "No sacks. I gave up no sacks."
See?
Hang on. Wait for me, Moan. He goes, "And such and such and such never got around me once. There was one play where I missed on a run tackle, whatever." And Chooks is sitting here going next to him like this. Okay.
Yeah.
There, you know, Dan Moore was in there before that. I spent a good amount of time with Dan Moore. I've been rough on him, Moan. You know that. We both have.
I tweeted about it. Yeah.
Okay. And I told him, I said, listen, I said, you know, this was after the game. I said, I saw the good, I saw the bad and everything else here, but it looks like it's getting better. I'm not saying that to be nice to him. You know me better than that. I do. His performance was a marked upgrade over what he'd done in recent weeks. Didn't like the early holding penalty, but don't really have a whole lot else to say negative about him. My point was, Moan, is they're sitting there, these guys, and Mason Cole over there too, and James Daniels, and they're saying, we're getting better. We feel like we're getting better. At one point, I said to Dan Moore, I said, wouldn't this have been wonderful, like magic to have had in week one? And he goes, not how it goes.
Smart by him, man. And for even if it wasn't as clean, in those moments in a dub, in a win, you feel those things because you accomplished the goal of getting the win as a team, right? And with that being said, you kind of say to yourself, whatever the film says, that's the reality of what actually happened. Yes. But in this moment, I did what we needed to do as a player.
It's how it feels before any film. I heard that from before they sit in the classroom and have this and that dissected. How did it feel out there? And when Kevin Dotson says to me, he said, this is the most together we've been. This game right here, meaning the offense, this is the most together that we've been. We moved in this direction. How about the Najee touchdown?
Yes. Yep. Yes.
What happened? The whole left side of the line.
Ooh, okay. Dumb.
I could picture 73 and 78 coming across.
and truthfully, we don't want to make this a cheerleader thing, but what we're saying is my group was there. Mm-hmm. Our team was there. Going from Rashad Mendenhall to figuring out what Le'Veon was. Remember how that offense sputtered?
It was weird.
You remember that, right?
It was weird.
Sputtered. But then it got to a point where this group is fighting and we all got to. And that's when you start to build and, oh, you are with me. I was glad to hear the commentator say Deontay was a little ticked off because he didn't get many targets. Well, why? Because he believes that I belong in this offense. You see, it's not a quit thing with these guys. It's a, We just got to mold it into whatever it is. Seeing George Pickens be ticked off, you know?
And everybody, I thought, across the board responded well to the third quarter adversity by coming out and playing their best football in the fourth.
Yo.
When we come back, Moan, there's something unusual about this offense and its consistency, and I want to stay on the offensive side of the ball here. All right.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick, a jump, a block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle, a run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show. Moan, when referencing this offense right now, consistency comes up a lot in the locker room, and it should, because you will see Kenny drop back and make a 35-yard pass to George Pickens down the right sideline. You'll also see somebody just make a drop, or Kenny will make – I didn't think he made many this week, but he'll make an occasional bad pass. And – you'll see a missed block or a penalty and whatever else here. How difficult is it for the athlete at the athlete level to come to grips with, but we just did this. Why didn't we do it now?
Yeah.
Where does your brain go there?
It's a confusion because you've seen it. You've done it, as you said. And it's like, but why? But that's sports, right? That's the beauty of it. It's the adversity of it. It's the, in the sense of what you said, getting to that pro level of just, it's automatic all the time. It's reps. And that's what this group lacks a lot too, is the reps of doing those things. Like, to your point, watching Kenny throw a pass that I'm sure you've seen in practice that you can't report on, that's just concise, you know, just accurate as ever. But one of the first third downs of the game sails over the receiver head. You know what I'm saying? It's to your point of, I know I can do this. I've done those things before. And then it starts to click later in the game. And I think from your point in the last segment, from that third quarter to when it starts to click again in the fourth, it's like, okay, yeah, this is where we're comfortable at. Not necessarily the second win, but the idea of, I just need to play ball. But the nerves, DK, of it all, you can't really explain it other than, it's ugly, and you got to leave plays behind you.
And to an extent, and this is the other point that I wanted to make here, is that when you talk to these guys, and you obviously experienced it, Moan, they also want to learn from them these mistakes immediately. Yeah. Do you remember Kenny taking the sack that took the Steelers out of field goal range? It was right after James Pierre's interception. And Anthony McFarland runs right past 91. Absolutely should have chipped him. You know what I'm talking about.
Yep, I do.
And 91's standing there like, seriously?
Seriously?
Did you see him? He's like, you're just going to let me go at the quarterback?
And okay. You know what? And he did. But in those moments, as bad as it is in those moments, everybody has to have that hard moment. I don't care what sport you're playing. Whether your team is up by 7 and you're the pitcher that gets 5 and then they rally some more and then you lose the game. Or whether it's basketball and you don't know how to – or you don't take a, you take the wrong time out and you get a tech like Michigan, right? Like that, like the Fab 5. Everybody got to have a hard pro moment, whether it's one game that you lose or eventually win, that you never have that mistake again. Because as players sometimes, though, too, you get to a point to where, well, shoot, I'm on autopilot. I'm good to go. And then you get humbled again. Like McFarland on that play got humbled to be like, my detail has to be in an all-time high level because that's what being a pro is.
All he's going to see on film the first 2 days of this week. It's all. It's not going to be the nice run that he had. It's not going to be the one time he almost broke one.
No.
I mean, like, I'm talking about broke one, like Maryland style, okay? And he's just going to see that and say, how do you run past 91 there? How do you not realize that there's absolutely – because by that point, Dan Moore had gone to his right. Dan Moore had a guy. I don't know how that looked on TV.
That wasn't on him.
Right. I don't know how that looks on TVs. I saw people barking about Dan Moore. Dan Moore went to his guy.
All signs pointed to the entire offensive line sliding, right?
They did.
And they're supposed to be either tight end or running back for the edge. He has somebody in his B gap. He took that guy in his B gap at left tackle.
And the tight end went out for a pass.
Yep. And the running back missed on. So you can say, and also I look at Kenny on that play too. I say, Kenny, you got to know you're hot. But see, that's also him as a pro DK. That's one of those things where Ben wouldn't mind. Yeah, let him go. I got him. He good. Because what was Heath doing? Ha, 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 hot. Down the middle. First time I saw that play happen was in Detroit, I think on Thanksgiving. And I'm blocking. I might have been extra tight end, if I'm not mistaken. I was somewhere on the field. I'm like, we're supposed to be blocking. No, Ben had a hot to Heath right down the seam. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, we can throw the ball here too? Had no freaking idea. Ben didn't mind them blitzing. Because why?
No, he welcomed it because he could just go right over their heads.
I see him. It was a hot by the tight end that he should have got his head around quicker. Kenny should have looked at the tight end quicker also, and Ant should have been able to block or cut the defensive end. That wasn't a tackle.
Five people
were probably to blame on that play.
The mistake that Kenny makes on that play, and I talked to one individual in the locker room who shall go unnamed in this context, but the mistake that Kenny makes there is that Kenny goes this way. Yes, okay. Yep. All right, so Kenny goes this way. And he's facing completely away from 91. I apologize to 91 and 91's family. I have no idea who 91 is.
Yannick Ngakoue.
All right, good. All right, yeah. So Kenny's facing this direction. He didn't see him.
Yannick, yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Kenny didn't see him.
This is also.
So it's not like Kenny made a conscious decision to not, I'm not going to throw the ball away. I'm just going to eat it. He didn't see him.
He didn't see him. But this is also the communication factor, too, DK, where I say this team is young. This team is new. Why? Because communication up front from the offensive line said, hey, Ralph, we're sliding right. Oh, rip. Everybody's right. Somebody's coming back for something on the end, and there's possibly a hot. Kenny's probably got so much going on in his head. He probably heard it, but he didn't deposit it to actually think about it. So because of that, sack quarterback.
But to the positive extent here, I want to point this out here because what you do want to see is guys learning from the mistakes and immediately adjusting gradually processing. Yeah. So when we talk about Kenny's first couple of starts, what's the main thing that stood out? Interceptions. Tons of them, right? Kenny's next couple of starts, throw the ball away, Kenny. You know what Kenny never did last night? He never threw the ball away.
Yeah.
He also didn't throw any interceptions.
He did not, DK.
There were four drops out of his eight incomplete passes.
Yeah.
That's progress. Yeah. That's learning from your mistake and putting it into something.
It is, man. And I look at this and say the growth that we need him to have, I think is there. I think right now we're so focused on what this season is and what win losses are in general that these steps can't be recognized until later. From just that one play in general, I say this, the O-line got that right. They probably sat in that meeting room after they had film review and said,
Not us.
Not us. And that's a good thing despite it being a negative play.
It's perfectly fine. It's perfectly fine for those guys to feel good about themselves. It really is.
It is, man. And there's so many other facets of this game, too. The defense, finally, I ain't going to say cracking a little bit, but we saw them actually have a better moment this year than they did last year. On the road to Minnesota, couldn't stop a nosebleed then. You had Andy having them reeling. and they found a way to really crack that pot of stopping them from either getting into the end zone or the fourth down stop in the secondary in which they got ate up. That, again, a step, right? When we speak about what this team is. And I'm just like, we don't like it. I don't like being, 4-7, whatever the case may be. It sucks. But this is a ball of clay with a bunch of missing just ingredients and a sketch of what we actually need to be. But there are steps being made, DK.
There are. When we
and
come
they're
back,
not quitting. It don't look like.
There's no quit, Moan.
It don't look like what the Bengals look like. It didn't look like what Cleveland looks like. It doesn't look like. It doesn't look like football. New Orleans.
They're playing football. They're getting better. And as Mike Tomlin said to me in an answer to a question that I asked after the game, even while their younger players are growing, they feel that their younger players are good enough to both get better and to win games. Kind of like that. Kind of like that. When we come back, the only segment that matters.
Hey.
Welcome back to the Ramon Foster Show, and the only segment that matters is brought to you by the Get-Go Cafe and Market, where quality is at the core of every menu item. Three expert chefs fine-tune every detail so that every sub, burger, salad, wrap, drink, app, and pilgrim are crafted for craveability. Order your favorite item at the Get-Go Cafe and Market today. Better believe it. Moan, today's entry comes from Alan Wedsworth, and he asks, "Hey Moan, in this game in Indianapolis, TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith were consistently running past Matt Ryan, and he would just step up or he didn't have to move at all. Is this more on the pass rush or is it on the tackles dictating where the pass rush is going? I kept thinking that one should go deep, forcing him up into the path of the other." You know, saw this, right?
The meetings
behind the quarterback. There were tons of them.
Yeah, there were. Really good question, man. For a lot of different reasons. So yes, it could go like that. TJ could get up the field, and Alex can go not as deep as TJ does, and you bring up a party there. I will say this. Their interior offensive line of the Colts is pretty solid. Quentin Nelson is one of the best. I think there are some guys, as you have seen, play Quentin, and Quentin got shocked by who they were and what they could do to him. Everybody knows what Cam is, okay? Cam has seen Quentin at the Pro Bowl. They know each other. They know what they bring to this matchup, too. It's Monday night. Their middle three played well. Yes, you do need more push up the middle. That's why I've dropped this nugget of having this conversation. I think Cam needs a higher pedigree co-worker next to him. You've heard me say this, right? And conversations about what next year could be with who you go after as far as players. I think that's something that was necessary. I like the Jordan Davis kid out of Georgia last year. I was like, man, it'd be awesome if they could get him. You remember having those conversations?
I remember you bringing him up all the time.
And it pays off when you have guys like that. And I'll say this about that. That plan does work, okay? And this is the idea, too. If you flush Matt Ryan out, he ain't going nowhere. We saw that. Okay. We saw Terrell honestly look shocked when he got the sack. Like, oh, he's not moving.
We got him.
I got him.
Okay. Okay. That right there is where I'm going to stop you.
Okay.
I asked Kim after the game about the meeting of the edge rushers.
Of the bubble, the umbrella, yeah.
Yeah, it was old. Like I was joking with Cam. I said it reminded me of TJ and Bud's early years.
Yep.
That happened all the time because Bud was always overrunning the quarterback in his early years, right? Okay.
Yep.
And Cam gives me one of these head tilts of his and says, "This is going to sound crazy, but we spend so much time as a defense getting ready for these mobile quarterbacks that we would close in on Matt Ryan and we would almost position or angle ourselves
to chase
him or to cut him off the way we would cut off a Lamar Jackson. And by the time we got there, what you just said dovetails with this perfectly, because T.E. gets there and he goes, wait, this is it? This is all I have to do? He's just standing here.
Yeah.
And it's the little stuff about the game inside the game, like that never would have occurred to me,
but
it makes a lot of sense.
And
it really
lends itself to one, the rush that Cam and Larry and them had up front, right? As far as get enough rush, but see where he's exiting from. Okay. It lends itself to that. But it also shows that there is a plan to them getting behind the quarterback. And whether Alex went too deep or TJ went too deep as far as their rush lanes on getting to him to flush him out a little bit. And last night's game, I guess, is probably what Cam's alluding to, or the other night's game. God, my days are off. The Monday night game alludes to Cam is probably used to them flushing the quarterback out.
Right.
And he's waiting on it. Matt Ryan doesn't do that.
No, and the other component to this is that Indianapolis's offensive line is well paid.
Yeah, they are.
And rightly so on the interior. They're nowhere near as strong on the tackles. So they were going to have one impact up front and an entirely different impact or lack of impact on the edges then. Oh, and by the way, speaking of preparation for mobile quarterbacks, guess who the Steelers have to face this week in Atlanta?
Yeah.
I mean that's it's gonna be a challenge because now they're gonna have to readjust.
Yeah, so let's watch that this week as Marcus Mariota is the quarterback in Atlanta of what TJ and Alex Highsmith's rush is. Is it as far upfield as it was in the Colts game? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And what does Cam and Larry do or Warmly do? As far as their rush, does it change for TJ and Alex outside? Are they the one pushing up the middle more to flush them out outside to the faster guys? And I'm sure Cam don't want to say that Alex Highsmith or TJ are faster than him, but that's the idea is TJ is always going to run you down or Alex has the ability to run you down too.
Yeah, it was a strange game. And then by the time they get to the fourth quarter defensively, they start sending, you know, Arthur Mallette. They hadn't sent corners back there all year.
You know why? You had a sitting duck. You know?
Somebody get him.
And the other part, too, was, and I said this, too, when Matt Ryan was able to, you know, look downfield after they didn't get the rush that they wanted to, he's a guy that's savvy enough to look downfield and make that throw in the pocket. So what always works? Rush and coverage work together. So let's send pressure at him.
Yeah, although there wasn't a whole lot of coverage, but that's another subject for another day. Another subject for another day. Moan, let's do another one tomorrow.
You know what? Let's do it.